complete facts.
They told me last
week. Shut up and listen to the opener.
Welcome to the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Show. Rob Sanders.
I don't care. My jokes don't go over. I don't care.
Comrade Mike Dobreski. And Kale Hall.
This is stupid. Making noises on the show. You're like a crazy person. Why do you do this to your father and I?
The Rob, Comrade, and Kale Podcast.
And welcome in to the latest edition of the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Podcast. My name is Rob Sanders. I represent Clemson on this show. I have a couple of co-hosts. We'll start with the man that's Vladimir Putin's water boy. He is the comrade, Mike Dobreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
It is good to be here. We are a day closer to basketball season. Thanks fucking God.
Damn right good about that. We can agree on that. I also have a third co-host. He is my friend from the upstate, Carolina Jackpot, joins us. Jackpot, what's up, brother?
Glad to be here. Second favorite night of the week. Sunday night, and kicking off Georgia Hate Week for the Gamecocks. Always a fun time.
Georgia Hate Week for the Gamecocks. That's funny. Shout out to the folks already watching us online, including John, who says 2-8. Appreciate him. Comrade, you go from first. Yeah, we got to talk about the Callaway's Pick'em Challenge, where Comrade is not doing very well.
Hey, listen, I already figured this out. I sat and cracked down the numbers right now. We got four weeks left. Okay. 8 games a week. I mean, it probably won't be all 8 because we have the COVID going on. But say we get 32 games going on, right? If I go 7-1 for the next 4 weeks, I win this shit. Okay? So, I mean, basically, that'll be perfect. I can lose a game a week. Okay, and so I after looking at that, I have a renewed fervor now that I'm going to get fucking red hot. I can feel it.
Kale, do you think the comrade can go 7-1 for 4 straight weeks?
Well, he hasn't gone 7-1 yet.
So I'm due. Exactly. Law of averages. Listen. I can go 6-2 one week, 8-0 the next week too. We can mix and match it.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, I can go 6-2 straight weeks and 8-0 2 straight weeks. There's all kinds of ways to skin the cat. But basically, Ben Simmons would have to go. I figured this out right now. If I did that, Ben Simmons, I'm going to flip my numbers now. Base has like 4 games over 500 to tie me. I don't think he can do it. I think Ben Simmons is going to choke on his nuts when he sees me getting hot. So
the chat room doesn't agree, so I'm just throwing that out there.
Hey, people didn't think the USA could beat Russia in hockey in 1980. Didn't think it could happen. Okay, but guess what?
It happened.
What did Kurt Russell say?
Yeah.
You know, he said 9 times out of 10 they beat us. But not tonight.
Well, let's go over the standings here. Perfect score will be 82. Ben Simmons leads the way with 51 correct picks. He went his third straight week of going 5 correct picks. That's really solid. 2 picks back are myself and Beth Webb. Both of us finished with 6 this week. Fuck you, Oklahoma State, forever. Edwin Reeves is in right there in the mix at 47, along with Marcus Cameron and Mark McCurry. Taylor Bruni had a perfect 7-0, shot himself up the leaderboard. That's why I laugh at the comrade, but if comrade goes 7-1 for 4 straight weeks, I think he wins. And I know that sounds kind of silly, but if you go the last four, you could go 28-4. That's fine.
Yeah, part's not a question. That's not the part that's in question. I'll definitely win if I go 7-1 4 straight weeks. I'm confident in that. The other part of me actually doing it is the shit show. Yeah,
I don't see that. Tyler Crowder's right there in the mix. With 46. Matt Hewlett's at 45. Dennis Wilson had 4 correct. He's at 45. Dennis has kind of shit the bed here lately. He needs to get his stuff together.
He has. He has kind of got shitty a little bit.
Chris Rich is at 45. Nathan Medlin's at 44. I'm rolling down through here now. Someone who's fallen off a good bit. Jeremy McClure was leading 2 weeks ago. Now he's 8 picks back. Rich Long is also 8 picks back. Sally Donegan is 8 picks back, but she got 6 correct her past 2 weeks. She's a strong finisher. Finished strong last year. She's gone 5-6 the past 2 weeks.
She's winning this year, huh? I'll tell you that.
What's that?
Champion.
You don't think she's winning this year, Kale?
No, she's about as effective as last year's national champion, LSU.
Oh, goddamn, Kale.
That looks like
over the top, Kale.
Okay, I wouldn't crack on her if she was a Gamecock fan, but she's a tater, so I will.
All right. Well, Carolina Jackpot, 10 points off the lead, but did go 6-1 this week. Way to go, Kale. Okay. Kale's getting his footing.
Fucking Oklahoma State bastard.
Fuck them. Fuck the mullet.
They fucking suck.
I couldn't believe that. But, like, here's the thing, too. It's like I said that line doesn't seem like something's weird with that line. Because I don't know, but they blow a dick. But here's the problem. I was 2-0. Okay, I was 2-0 and feeling it. Okay?
Yeah.
And my Abilene Christian, with 2.5 minutes to go, punched in for a big score. And I sent a text to you two dumbasses, and like, yeah! About to be 3-0, okay? And I walked away from my phone, because by the way, you can't get that game on TV. So I walked away from my phone for a little bit, thinking 3-0, heading to night games. I'm feeling good, okay? I'm feeling good. And I walked away for a little bit, and I was playing with my kids, threw a little football in the yard for a little while. Came back, and I saw this text of, yeah, fuck you, comrade. Like, what? Like, oh, like a bad, what happened? I checked the score. I put my score app back on, refresh, 55-15. It's like, what in the brother? Oh.
That's what I had the phone out, and it they scored, so it was like 40-something to 13. Then I looked at my phone and it just said touchdown Virginia real fast, and I'm like, huh, but the score never changed, and that stuff's weird, and like my little football on there keeps splashing back and forth, and I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? I'm just like, all right, well, I got that one wrong, and then I refreshed it like a few minutes later, and it was 55-15. I was like, ha!
That score app should be sponsored by the Cale Hall Special.
Yeah.
Because the Cale Hall Special, you can't find the shit on TV. The only way you can find it is refreshing. I feel like it's 1998 again. When I used to have to find Red Sox scores. Refresh?
Well, Virginia had a I think they got a safety, or the Sunday school got a safety on Virginia there.
Yeah.
I guess
which
they got
screwed the ball back.
And then they threw a pick six, I guess it was.
Yeah, pick six with no time on the clock. And it's funny because the guy that picked it off, he could have just downed it. No. Yeah, fuck faster, comrade.
Faster. He knew.
Fuck comrade.
He knew. And the Coastal game was kind of similar, but the Coastal game was a bad beat. When people like Nathan Medlin brought this up too, I won the Coastal game. Well, the Coastal game, you got lucky in that one, but really I didn't, okay? Because Coastal had the ball, and the dude fumbled to the goal line, first of all.
Right.
Then when they scored, they went for 2 points. Since they kicked the extra point, which recovered the spread, went for two and missed it. So they didn't get a pick six in the end, but that was kind of justice. That was kind of like the gambling god saying, yeah, Coastal should cover this game, and we're going to right the wrong on that. The Abilene Christian game was not – they owe me some. That's why I think we're going 7-1 next 4 weeks. The gambling gods owe me. Only a few things, and it's going to come due the next 4 weeks. You're going to see some games.
You should have known better than to take the Sunday school in that game. I can't believe they only beat them by 40. They're not used to that ACC speed.
Listen, Carlos
Holder. Neither was South Carolina the last time they played them when they didn't score.
I'm going to go Carlos Holder. I'm going to call him Jellyfish, okay? He just quoted, am I ahead of the Russian, Rob?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Now, all these other weeks, when Carlos was getting one pick one week, he never wanted to talk about his picks. Okay? He passed me up, suddenly wants to talk about them, okay? So when I beat him, he'll go back to, well, you know, I've been busy. That's fine. But I'm getting hot right now. The gambling gods owe me. It's coming due.
All right. Well, yeah.
What's he talking about?
I don't know. He Carlos asked if he was ahead of the Russian. I don't know.
Carlos Holder, yeah. He's past me now. Well, it's Carlos. It's Carlos speak. I think he's trying to say, "Am I ahead of the Russian, comma Rob?"
Okay.
Yeah. So you gotta.
Punctuation is key.
Carlos has his own language. You gotta speak Carlis.
Brock says, "Did I see the Missouri punt?" Yeah, we'll talk about that game in a moment, and we'll get to that shortly. I want to finish up with our picks here, and then we'll do the no spin zone session there with the comrade. Comrade, you should be pulling that up now while I finish this up here. Other names in the mix there. Billy Muse from Callaway's pulled a 6 this week. Outstanding. Matt Tomlinson pulled a 5, and he passively aggressively posted in the one of the Facebook groups we're in. Holy shit, Matt. Do better, Matt.
He suddenly cares again. He went from, listen, I don't really
just don't be passive aggressive. Either you're going to roll with it or you're not.
The contest, you know, when he was doing bad, he could accuse the contest of not being fair because I handpicked the games. Like, actually, I don't. I mean, it's really the three of us, and well, you handpick them. And now it's back to, you know, well, it's legit now because I'm only one back. So it's just kind of,
we give the comrade shit, but this contest is completely square across the board. And, you know, the three of us come up with games. Generally, Kale sends us the Kale Hall special about noon every Sunday or sometimes late Saturday.
It's all, yeah.
And then we pick from there. And I send them the games that I like. And it's then like, yeah. We go from there.
Getting the Kale Hall special on Sunday in a text is like getting a turd sandwich delivered to you. You know, here's your turd.
I just picture Kale when he does the Kale Hall special, he just sits around and he's like,
"Well, and piss
not,
off."
No, I mean, not, I don't know if he's mad. I just think he just sits around.
He's not mad. He's like, "We'll piss them off the most."
No, he just sits around and he goes, "I want people to think like this."
Vote my life. Fuck it.
And that's exactly what every time I get it, I'm like, God damn it, Kale.
Well, this one's not that bad.
Yeah, pretty funny. Anyway, let's go. By the way, the leader right now for the penis trophy is Gary Mills. But Gary Mills is creeping out of the bowl here. He is at 5. He had 5 picks correct this week, and he might... He might catch a couple of people that are in front of him, including Magic Shoes Muse and Al Thomas. That might happen. So we will keep an eye on who gets the penis trophy, too. All right. So
between me and Jackpot Juco.
Oh, Jackpot. Oh, you're calling your son Jackpot Juco now? Oh, my God, Kale. Jackpot Junior's at 41. You're both tied at 41.
Okay. Well, it's...
It's a battle right there.
It's a battle.
I'm gonna
blood versus blood.
I'm gonna leave him in the dust this week.
All right. Anyway, the no spin zone segment with the comrade from DNC Trucking and Transport. The no spin zone segment every show. Comrade, read away.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. Clemson is the elite program in the state of South Carolina. South Carolina does not belong in the SEC. We might finish in the upper half of the SoCon. Mizzou is a better program than South Carolina. They lead the overall series against my failure team, and they have 2 times the SEC East titles that we have. Let's all pray this evening for the former Gamecock players blatantly attacked on Gamecock Twitter. Let's also pray for Ryan Helinski, who was not given a fair shot. Potential coaches and recruits need to see the behavior of this unappreciative fan base. It sucks, big Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport, the No Spin Zone segment with the comrade. There you go. All right, so.
Real quick, though, the Javon Kinlaw tweet. I had no idea about that till today.
Oh, you didn't?
No, Facebook group, no.
Oh.
I mean, Kale's, I wouldn't think it was legit. Like, I didn't know anything about it.
Oh, I gotta start sending you that stuff. I honestly thought you kept up.
Because it wasn't really talked about much over the past 2 days. And like today, like at 4 p.m., it was like, you know, Guffey posted it. I'm like, damn, How does Guffey get this stuff so quick?
I don't know where they dug this stuff up.
Like they just dig it up. I don't know where you dig it up from. It's so kind of obscure, you know, like it hasn't been talked about at all. And, you know, it's posted. And so I thank God for Guffey. I wouldn't be shocked if Guffey's going to post something next week about Horn opting. Has Horn opted out? I don't think he has. But I bet she posts about Horn opting out, something like that. I'm being sarcastic. There's these Clemson dumbasses.
Talk? Are you talking about the whole? I mean, you knew about the other.
I'm being sarcastic because we got dumbasses in our room who post stuff that's 4 days old. They think they just figured it out. Like, hey man, look at this Kinlaw tweet, man. No, gotcha. Well,
the dumdums that are like that are 4 days behind. They missed the tweet that he had last night, where he tweeted to Corey Miller because Corey went off and was like, why are you guys booing former South Carolina guys at the game where they do the whole thing of these are your Gamecocks in the NFL? And when his name came up, the whole fucking stadium started booing him. And, of course, Kinlaw's tweet's like, I make my money. They don't pay me. So
exactly. We're a clean program. Fact.
That's not what he meant.
That's what Clemson players would say. Hunter Renfrew would be like, yeah, well, they ready to pay me, but not as much as I used to get paid.
Well, that's not what he said. But anyway, do you want to talk about the Gamecocks?
It's a shit disturber. Corey Miller?
He's kind of I mean, I don't know. Listen. Here's my take on the whole thing. Everyone wants to choose sides. Here's my take. Both fucking sides are wrong, okay? The fans who are booing them and attacking them on Twitter are wrong. The players with thin skin making a segment of fans who are dumbasses to the whole fans are wrong, too. Now, Debo, a few of them have kind of walked it back saying, listen, I didn't mean the whole fan base. I meant, you know, they kind of, I think people got in their ear a little bit. So listen, man, you know, there's a lot of don't go with the extreme dumbasses as the whole fan base. So it was embarrassing. I don't understand booing Kinlaw. Once again, bad move. I mean, give me a break. But there's definitely a dividing line between like the Spurrier era players and the Muschamp era players in terms of just kind of outlook on things. So, but it's like, you know, I didn't really get into it on Twitter because I saw all these things going on there. I don't like tweeting players or former players unless I bust Tim Frisbee's ass by the Yankees. That's it. But I just don't like to I just don't like doing that shit. But anyway.
Well, do you want to play what they were the booing session? Because we can play that if you want, and just to get an idea of how it's like 25 seconds.
Real quick, Beth Ingram Webb. I'm being sarcastic. Yeah. Beth, I'm mocking your fan base. Well, I know you're a Georgia fan too, so I'm not sure what fan base you are this night. So I'm mocking Clemson fans who discover stuff 3 days late and post like they discovered themselves. I was mocking them, so that's called being sarcastic.
All right, I think everybody can you guys see that? Let me make this full screen here so people can see that. This is
using my tweet too. This is my tweet.
This isn't your tweet. Oh yeah. Yeah, Comrade's fake screen name. That's funny. I knew that fake Comrade posted this earlier, and I'm going to expand this out a little bit and let everybody see it. All right, so this is last night at Williams-Brice Stadium. This is a little segment they do, I guess, every game. Here you go. Check this out.
They should have thrown some water bottles at it. I mean, that just proves, I mean, how powerful is social media. Jesus Christ.
No, it's just.
Yeah.
I was shocked by that because you don't think a lot of Gamecock fans who go to the games, okay, at least I thought, are not really the social media fan. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different vibe. But apparently not. Like, I was shocked by that, because usually it doesn't kind of carry over in that way. But I don't know.
I don't think he's ever been the most popular figure around, anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, and listen, for both sides too. You know, number one, I don't even know how to go. It's a bad look. You know, these guys too. Like, if you're a Gamecock and you come back to Columbia, and listen, Kinlaw may not need to come back to Columbia. He might make enough money in the NFL. We can say fuck everybody. But for the marginal guys, for the guys who like the Connor Shaws of the world, okay, who don't make the NFL, for the you know, the Perry Orths and the Eric Kimries and the, you know, Marcus Lattimore, who did make the NFL, obviously for
Steven Garcia,
other reasons. You know, if you play your cards right, and you come back here, you mean boosters give you jobs, they give you, you know, you get all kinds of contacts that being in Columbia, being a former Gamecock, are beneficial to you. And I think some of them don't really see the big picture when they say, I'm going to opt out. They're going to opt out to play in the NFL, that's fine. But
right.
And it's a business decision. I understand that too. But you got to be careful about burning bridges too with that, you know. And I think Debo handled it pretty well when he opted out. But then his tweet the other day, I mean, I don't know. There's ways you can do it, and fans get mad. And the former players can understand something, too. You know, they're pissed off at the program and Muschamp and the fact he made all that money and didn't do shit. Okay, that's real. That's nothing. That's not being a bad fan. And some of the players have taken that personally, like the fact that we're pissed at Muschamp or pissed at them. And that's not really what it is. And they kind of put themselves in there. And I understand they like Muschamp and he's their guy, but shit, if he's your guy, you should have won more games for him. Whatever it is. But like, I mean, but you can't. They take it personally. Like it's against them. And when the fans boo at games, they're not booing them. I mean, they're booing the product. They're doing it as a whole. They're booing the coach. You know, they think it's them. I understand they think it's them, but they have to kind of take themselves out of it. I don't think people are booing the players.
I want to throw something into the mix here, and I'm not trying to. I agree with what Comrade said. Okay, what he said makes a lot of sense. I think that the tweet came from him simply because of the beating on social media that J.C. Horn and Mukwamu took. Okay. And that's why the tweet came from him about it. Now, I don't think that you should ever tweet at college athletes. That's just my opinion. Now, if they're pros, fuck them. They make millions. You can say whatever the fuck you want to them. But college guys, I kind of have this whole thing of just don't tweet at them. Just don't. But I wish people would follow that. If you want to tweet at Muschamp and call him a failure, that's great. He's getting $13 million to sit at his house, $249,000 a month. What is it, a month for 49 months, some ridiculous number like that. He can take all of that shit. But as far as these the players, I don't agree with all that. I don't. But I don't agree with making your football program a fucking mockery in front of everyone by booing guys that are now players in the NFL, because if recruits see that shit, it's not going to work out well for you. It's just not.
I'm not sure if that will be. I mean, listen, the recruits are going to come here based on
context is key. If you understand the context, then that's fine. But you just see, oh, why are the fuck are they booing him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's not. But I will say this though, okay? Every program has these issues.
You're right.
When they're losing, okay? Let me preface that. When they're losing, okay? You know, so the whole thing of using instant recruiting. Well, I could recruit against Tennessee and go, look at this shit show when they booed. You know, I mean, so every team does when they're losing. The kids will come here based on who the new coach is, new staff is, and how he recruits and what he's trying to build. I mean, I'm not really worried about that. We're going, oh, recruits. Listen, that's at least my worries. My whole thing is the fact that it's a bad look. Being that's my school, it just, no one looks good in this at all. The fans got to calm the fuck down on social media. Stop tweeting at players and all that stuff. And you don't have to like it. I don't like the fact that J.C. Horn opted out or in the Israel. I understand it, though. I mean, they come here. Their goal at the end of the day is the NFL, and that's okay to have that goal. And they didn't come here. Let's be honest. They weren't coming here for a national title. They knew that was going to happen. They came here because, hey, I'm going to go to an SEC school. I'm playing for a guy, Will Muschamp, who has a history of getting guys in the NFL, which he does. I know he blows dick, but he does. I'm going to go there and play against top receivers in the SEC, get seen, and get my ass paid. And when the season goes off the rails and your coach gets fired, you know what's going to go on. It's a shit show, COVID. You know, they say, why should I risk it? You know, listen, now, part of me wants to be like Hutcherson of the offensive lineman and say, you know what? I'm not going to put my team. I applaud that too, okay? But the same token, I understand what they're doing, okay? I don't like it. I don't necessarily like it. I don't want more people to do it. But I have a hard time telling them, hey, man, you need to stay. It's commitment. I mean,
right.
I just, whatever. I mean,
well, let's
good luck to them. I'm sure they'll make a lot of money in the NFL. I'll still be great in the NFL. They'll be playing Sundays for a long time.
Right.
And, I mean, it's kind of the way it is. It happens lots of schools, not just us. So it's not like a Gamecock problem. This season has been a shit show in all kinds of ways. So,
all right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the game. And South Carolina played, of course, Missouri. First half was probably their worst half of the season, in my mind. The second half, though, they came out. And they sent Luke Doty out onto the field. And I want to get Kale's opinion on this. What did you think of the young man from Myrtle Beach? And should he be starting? And is that the way that you want the team to go at quarterback?
Well, yeah, it definitely should. I mean, did you see the energy around the whole team just got better just by his presence on the field? I mean, was he perfect? No. I mean, he made some mistakes. I mean, obviously – that interception was a big mistake, and we all knew it was coming because he's a freshman. He's like 18 years old, right? So, I mean, these kids are really actually not ready to be starting a game in the SEC, but it is what it is. And we knew that that was going to come. We knew that was the boneheaded play was going to come at some point. I just wish it had come. I don't know. I wish I had played him more all season long instead of one play here and there and found a way to insert him in there to get that experience that he needs. But I was impressed with him. He brings a dynamic to South Carolina football that we haven't generally had in the past. I mean, he's a dual threat, but, I mean, when they say dual threat, you pretty much – no, you know, pretty much means you got a running quarterback,
right?
And that's what he is. I mean, he's running quarterback. I mean, it's not really going to be lethal with his arm, but he can get better. They can improve that part of his game. He's got some wheels on him, though. I like that.
I like the way that
I don't know how good of a litmus test that was, because even as horrible as we looked in the first half of that game. Missouri's not – I mean, they were playing with a depleted roster. So, and I don't know how many guys they're missing on defense versus offense or vice versa or whatever. But, I mean, I hope that wasn't just a mirage because he was playing against a bad team. But,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess we'll see. We'll find out. Saturday because we're playing the team that's, you know, just right up there next to Jesus on Saturday.
Right there, Jesus.
Well, anyway, that was my big thing, and with Doty, that's I think he should start. But you know, the first thing on the fifth quarter postgame show last night on WVOC in Columbia, everybody's like, "Well, Helinski's going to transfer." I'm like, "Slow down." And people don't, you know, what I mean by that is that I think he's going to at least go through the spring with whoever the new coach is. You may get a coach that doesn't want the type of quarterback that that Doty is. They may want the more typical drop back quarterback. It all depends on the coach. So, you know, I don't think that Helsinki is going to transfer in December. I think he's smart enough to know, hey, go through go through spring practice and then go from there. That's my opinion. I think that's the logical thing to do. Does that not make sense, comrade?
Yeah, and listen, I get frustrated with some people who talk about, you know, Helsinki getting screwed and he deserves a chance. I mean, I hate the word deserve. What do you mean deserve? You played the guy you think has the best chance to win. Now, one of the problems we had this year is that Will Muschamp's on the hot seat, okay? If this was Will Muschamp's first year, okay, first year at Carolina, and he's got room for air, right? Will Muschamp would probably have been playing Doty earlier because you know what? Will Muschamp's taking, I'm building for the future. When your ass is on the hot seat, you're not thinking of the future. You're thinking, I got to win this game tonight. And so that's why he plays a guy like Colin Hill over Helsinki and Don Doty, because in practice, Colin Hill knows the offense better. He's older, and he does that. And so the fans want Luke Doty, which I understand. I do too. But the reason why Muschamp's not doing it or wasn't doing it is because Muschamp is afraid of what Kale said. He's a freshman. He's going to make mistakes. He's afraid those mistakes will cost him some games this year. And so that's the problem with having a coach in the hot seat, okay? Same thing when you have a Major League Baseball GM in the hot seat. You know what they do? They fucking trade away their prospects for veterans to win that year. And then when they don't win, you're really fucked, okay? And so that's why it's happening. So hopefully Doty plays the rest of the year. Just because now, I mean, if I was like Tanner, I'd be like, listen, Mike, listen, we're not going to, you know, Bobo knows he's not getting the job. I think he knows that. But I would say, listen, play the young kids. It's not going to affect your job. Don't get our asses kicked. Okay, let's just kind of see what we have.
Helsinki's not older. I mean, he's.
Well, you know. I mean, the interesting thing with Helsinki, too. You know, Helsinki and Colin Hill have the same exact skill set. Our people getting mad about why Helsinki didn't play, why Doty came instead of Helsinki. Well, that game, one, you got Shai Smith got hurt early on. She had no receivers. The line, I don't know what the offensive line's problem was. Missouri had no D line according to all the reports, okay? And our O line was getting their shit kicked all night. And so he had no time back there at all. You don't bring in Ryan Helsinki. Helsinki's the same thing as Colin Hill. Now, he might be a better thrower. I mean, we can argue over that stuff. But they're both statues back there. Okay, so Helsinki's not going to do anything in that game either. So you have to bring in someone like Doty. And Doty's impressive. The one thing I worry about Doty is, though, is that he plays like he's still in high school. And I mean by that is, like, he takes on tacklers. Like, he lowers his head. I'm like, that's not, like, people are saying he's Connor Shaw. Connor Shaw did a great thing of getting out of bounds, of sliding, of not getting hit. Connor Shaw never took a big hit. Right. You can't find me a play where Connor Shaw got his ass kicked, right? He always found a way to avoid the big hit, get down, and that's what he has to learn because he's not going to make it. He plays like that against Georgia. He's going to make some move trying to get – and I love the way he's doing it. I love the fact that he's, you know, all gas, no brakes, right? But he's going to take a shot. He's going to leave himself. He's going to make a spin move that when a guy's got his ankle and some guys from Georgia to come over and put him in the next week, and he's going to be out of the game with an injury. So he's got to learn to just slide, get the yards, get out of bounds, and not think he's Earl Campbell. Because he's a strong kid, but he's not a big kid either. So.
Yeah,
that's like Sunshine up there at Clemson. He has the knack for that too, of just stepping out of bounds at just the right time or sliding at just the right time. Because I mean, I'm just salivating, waiting to see him get the taste knocked out of his mouth a couple of times. It just doesn't happen.
And I'm not saying that Doty's not smart. I'm not saying he's not smart. He's a freshman and he's played that way in high school, and he's got to learn that. You know, he's going to get hurt doing it this way. And not saying that to run, but just kind of know, you know, when you see the linebacker there, okay, don't take him on. You got to kind of, if you can get by him, get by him. But if not, get your ass down.
Rob,
There's a
nice little sideshow going on over in the comment section with the SEC dog and the Georgia contingent and the Texas A&M man. Georgia man is telling them that you don't belong in this conference. You haven't done shit over here. You didn't do shit in the Big 12.
And the Texas A&M man is firing back at them. Which, right now, which one of those programs do you think is more impressive, sir?
Are you asking me which program I think is more impressive? Well, yes, I mean, Texas A&M, I mean, I goof on Georgia, but Texas A&M is an absolute fraud. I mean, I SEC dog, I completely agree with everything you said over there. I've been trying not to laugh, but the reality is that Texas A&M is a shit show. I mean, they, you know, I mean, I don't buy into Jimbo Fisher. I don't think that Georgia's as good as everybody thinks they are. They're not the second coming of Jesus. But I think if Georgia and Texas A&M squared off and Stedman Jackass wasn't playing, I think Georgia wins that game by probably 17 points.
What's his face look pretty good, by the way? What's it, the quarter? The what's his name again? The white quarterback from USC, played for Georgia.
JT Daniels. JT Daniels Christ is what Uncle Luke calls him.
I didn't see the whole game, and I know they barely won. I didn't see his stats, his final stats, but he throws a good ball. I don't know why the hell Stephen Jack has been playing. He throws a good ball. And,
well,
know,
but that comes back to Kirby Smart being a fucko, but the reality
I'm pissed that they discovered that.
I think if they started Daniels, and I don't know, we don't know what the hell is going on behind the scenes. I mean, let's just be completely honest. Maybe Daniels wasn't fucking completely healthy. I don't know. But I think if Daniels started, I think that Georgia hasn't lost a game, in my opinion. Yeah, that's just my opinion. Man. I think they had a better shot of going into Alabama and winning because Alabama keyed on that on the fact that Stedman Jackass was completely ineffective.
I wish we had Stedman Jackass playing this week. We could beat Stedman Jackass.
They would have beaten Florida.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know about that.
Maybe, I think they would have beaten Florida.
No.
Will Muschamp says he has great arm talent. But he can throw it. I'm kind of pissed that they discovered this before they played us, because now we get to see him.
All right.
He'll probably light us up like a damn Christmas tree. back to Missouri game, that's the weirdest damn game. I really thought that we had a chance to win
game.
It just because I thought we would score 40 points with Kevin Harris. And I thought they would score all over our ass, too, throwing the football. I thought it'd be a 45, I thought it'd be like the old Miss game, kind of, like that game. And I thought maybe we could kind of find a way to get a pick and do it. But instead, it was a damn defensive game. Our defense, I don't know what the hell got into the defense. Okay. But they looked like a damn good defense. But our line got killed.
Mizzou's not really good. I mean, let's just.
Yeah, he didn't impress me. Bedazzled sack was more like deflated, flat, empty sack.
Yeah, I mean,
he lit up LSU like a Christmas tree. I know LSU
everybody's lit LSU up like a Christmas tree.
Everyone's lit us up too. So. Everyone's lit our asses up too. Okay, that's my whole point.
Yeah,
we're it's not like we're just like LSU, if not worse. We're probably worse than LSU's defense. So the fact is, I understand what you're saying. But they lit up LSU, and Ole Miss lit us up. I mean, every team's lit us up defensively.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, let's pivot to the Clemson situation here real quick. Dabo Swinney said some dumb things tonight, but
put my mask on.
So, to give you the ups and downs of what happened, the Clemson was supposed to play at Florida State. Clemson had a player test positive for COVID-19 on Friday. Now, let's make sure we put this out there with the actual factual portion of it. So, the young man who is a backup redshirt freshman offensive lineman who probably would have ended up playing this game because Clemson was going to probably win 70-3, had some mild symptoms on Sunday and Monday, tested negative. Okay? Tuesday, the symptoms were gone. He was tested again. He tested negative. Wednesday, tested again. No symptoms, negative. Thursday, no symptoms, negative test. Friday, no symptoms, took a test. Now, here's where people are getting confused. He went through all those tests. He was tested every day last week, Monday through Friday, and they still put him on at the back of the plane by himself. They still made him ride a bus by himself, and they took him down there even though on Friday, when they took the test on Friday, they didn't get the results until Saturday morning, is what the way the testing works with the Friday test. So Florida State finds out that once Clemson comes to them with it, they don't want to play, and they end up postponing the game. Some comments from Dan Radakovich tonight on the protocols that Clemson followed. So we'll play those really quick here. Here you go.
Florida State indicated they didn't feel comfortable playing the game given that one of our positive tests among the travel party. Our two medical groups, as I had said earlier, could not come to a consensus on the path to move forward for the game to be played at noon on Saturday. Earlier, we noted, and I'll say it again just for repetition, upon hearing of Florida State's concern, Clemson offered to undergo another round of testing and came up with some different alternatives, even to play the game later on Saturday or Sunday, but we could not come to an agreement. We did everything in our power to play and followed all agreed upon ACC protocols in place to do so. So we understand right now the positive tests are part of our reality, and that's why we have protocols. But we've put this situation behind us, and we'll work with the ACC to evaluate options for rescheduling, but I don't have any details on that at this time.
All right, so that's Dan Radakovich from earlier tonight. So all of the testing, all the protocols were followed by Clemson. Now, when you say that, you wonder why FSU didn't possibly forfeit the game. I think that they should have all gotten together and figured something out, or at least came out with a rescheduled date. Now, Dabo Swinney tonight, this is about a minute and 40 seconds of his teleconference, and it's going to piss people off a little bit, but I'm in the camp of being consistent. I'm consistent on the front of, he shouldn't have to say this. You lean on your athletic director's statement and let it go from there, okay? But Dabo Swinney said this tonight, so here you go.
Never once was it said that if a team had a player test positive on a Friday test, that the game would be canceled. The only thing that we talked about in canceling games was not having enough scholarship guys or at least seven offensive linemen. And as Dan said, we offered to test again, play Saturday night, Sunday, Monday, and it was declined. We spent $300,000+ to travel. We set up a Ringling Brothers tent took over an entire parking lot to do what we have to do to meet the standards. We had people travel from all over the country to come to the game, to see the game. We met the standard to play, and we should have played. We have mitigated everything all year long, all year. Meetings, practices, meals, housing, how we travel. If the standard to play was zero positive tests, then we would have never had a season. This game was not canceled because of COVID. COVID was just an excuse to cancel the game. And to be honest with you, I don't think it has anything to do with their players. I have no doubt that their players wanted to play and would have played. And same with the coaches. To me, the Florida State administration forfeited the game. And if they want to play Clemson, in my opinion, they need to come to Clemson or they need to pay for all expenses. Other than that, there's no reason for us to play them. We were there, we were ready, and we met the standards.
So the whole thing with that is that everything that he said was correct, but when you're the head coach, you're the head statesman for the team. You're the face of the team, and you can't say stuff like that. You just can't. That's why you have an athletic director that can say that stuff for you, because you look like an asshole right now. And even though everything he said was right and they lost a ton of money, you look fucking stupid.
Whatever's on your mind.
And the thing is, here's the thing. Now, this will go away, okay? But if on Thursday or Friday it comes out that eight more people tested positive in Clemson, and because of that, the whole thing, he's like a moron, because basically they're gonna, FSU's going to look like they were correct, like why they're worried. Okay,
right.
Now,
well,
if it doesn't happen, it's fine. I'll blow away. But it's going to look bad. Like, going back to the Dan Mullen thing, we're complaining about the crowd size.
That's completely different, because he was saying pack the stadium, et cetera. That's different.
But Dan Mullen had to kind of backtrack and make another statement like, yeah, right, I probably shouldn't have said that now that we can't play it next, you know.
I want to make sure that people understand what I'm saying here, okay? Everything Dabo Swinney said was correct. It just wasn't the right time to say it, okay? You have an athletic director that can speak for you, and you don't have to look stupid. That's all I'm saying. And you look stupid when you make comments like that. Oh, I think this is all on Florida State, and I think that they should have forfeited the game. How do you benefit from that? What makes it better for you on that front? I'm just saying, I'm being as real as I can with the Clemson folks here that listen to this show. How does that make Clemson better? It doesn't. You look stupid when you say stuff like that. You can think that. You can have that conversation with your friends in the barbershop. You can have that conversation with your assistant coaches. You can even tell your players that. But to go on your teleconference and do that just makes you look like small.
Austin Paul over on the YouTube comment section says, Dabo runs Clemson, LMAO. He can say what he wants. Same as Saban at Bama. They can do and say what they want.
They can't say what they want.
Respectfully to that, has Nick Saban said anything about COVID where he looks like he's silly? I'll wait. He hasn't.
Someone says, read the room. There's a lot of deaths going on right now in the country. You're arguing about a football game. You can feel that way. You can be pissed, but it's not.
I agree with everything he said. Completely agree with everything he said. But he shouldn't have done it in his press conference. That's all I'm saying. It's the wrong fucking audience. You look silly with all that. I just, and someone needs to tell him that. Someone really does. And here's the thing, too. You know, Muschamp said the dumb shit he said about DJ Durkin and everything else. Muschamp was losing a shit ton of football games. The comrades right about this. This will blow over unless there's a blowout of COVID-19 tests that come up positive for Clemson. This will completely blow over because Dabo Swinney wins a lot of fucking football games. So, but Dabo Swinney should be better on the front of, in my opinion, if you are the face of Clemson, you don't say stuff like this. You just don't. You have to be the head statesman here, and that's not being a very good statesman. Just my opinion.
Well, nobody ever accused him of being real smart up there.
All right, you want to take some calls before we get out of here, guys?
Well, we want to do the games first?
Yeah, go ahead and do the games. Go ahead and line up the games.
So, for the games this week, it's kind of a weird week because you got a lot of Friday games. I love this week historically. I know the COVID will probably fuck it up, but I love this week historically because you got Thursday games, you got Friday games. It's a great week in the football. Hopefully, knock on wood, we don't have like 15 games canceled. But right now, we got the Cale Hall special this week is FAU at Middle Tennessee State. Set your damn timers for that one.
That's Willie Taggart versus Rick Stockstill.
Bad. Okay. Rick State, did he coach at Cincinnati, Rick Stockstill? Am I correct? Was he Cincinnati's coach a long time ago?
He was a coach at Clemson.
But didn't he coach Cincinnati too? Maybe not. Okay.
If I weren't in the running to win this contest, I would not pick games this week because of that game. If I were down there near the comrade, I'd be like, fuck it all.
Coastal Carolina, the best team in the state. I mean, just look at the record. Most wins in the state. Most wins in November in the state. Least amount of losses. Coastal Carolina at Texas State for game number two. Pitt at the super spreader Clemson. Let's hope that game gets played. I have my doubts. Georgia at South Carolina. Rumor is we may trade that game and play in between the hedges again because we're still hungry. We want some more hedges to eat on. That's the rumor. Rob just got mad right now thinking about it. He got pissed. Our fifth game is the Iron Bowl, Auburn at Alabama. So we got three left. We're going to go through. I know Rob won Oregon and Oregon State. The problem is that's a Friday game. We try to avoid Friday games.
Yeah, I didn't know it was on Friday. What about the Egg Bowl?
The Egg Bowl, what's that, Ole Miss, Mississippi State?
That's Friday?
Is that? I thought there was a Thursday game. Maybe not.
No, it's not this year. I would have liked to have put North Carolina and Notre Dame on there, but that's Friday, too, for some weird reason.
By the way, ACC people, I get frustrated with this shit. Stop scheduling games on fucking Friday. It's when the fucking high school teams play.
Ole Miss is on the docket now. We need two more games.
When's that? When's the game with Ole Miss? When is that?
The game's on Saturday.
Okay.
The Saturday game.
All right.
So that game, so we've got six games. We need two more games. How about LSU, Texas A&M? Anyone want to do that one?
I'm fine. You like that, Kale? You don't like that? How about Vanderbilt? You want Tennessee Vanderbilt? Yeah, I've got that on my list here.
We can do LSU game and Tennessee game. We can do them
both. Let's do that.
Okay, so LSU at I put this in my little notes here. I'm going to make up the shit. A&M and Vandy's at Tennessee at Vandy.
All right, is that eight?
That is eight.
All right, we're going to give you guys a chance to call in the show. Clemson fans, you want to yell at me because I'm not supporting Dabo Swinney. Not necessarily not supporting him. I just think he could do better. That's all. I just think that's not the right place to do that. Let Dan Radakovich do that. That's the way that it should be, in my opinion. He should have came out in the teleconference and said, you know what? We had issues down at Florida State. I'm not going to get into it. I'm taking questions on Pitt. Thank you. And that would have been the end of it. But now, what do you gain from all that? Nothing. It's fucking silly. All right, 803-470-2905. We'll take some calls if you would like to join the show. We will take those calls at 803-470-2905, 803-470-2905, and I'm testing the phone line now to make sure that it works. There you go. Yes, so there you go. If you want to call into the show, have at it, 803-470-2905. I also stand by what I said about Texas A&M earlier. You're not that good. You're just not. The whole thing with Georgia's coaching staff fucked them by not starting that damn silly ass quarterback. And that's the truth. That's the absolute truth. So anyway, Dennis Wilson says Rob, Clemson got the crap beat out of them, got scared of lonely FSU. Mm-hmm. Dennis Wilson, I would value your opinion, first of all, if you were the real Dennis Wilson, but you're the fake Dennis Wilson, you're also a Miami fan, you should worry about, trying to get within a couple of touchdowns of Clemson because you haven't
They've been canceled
able to do
a
that.
Few games, too.
Who's that?
Miami. They canceled a few games, too. Lately.
They can't. They were supposed to play Georgia Tech this weekend. They canceled that one. So
yeah, it was Uncle Lou was talking about that today during his video that Miami's going to continue canceling games so that they only end up with one regular season loss.
Right.
That's what it looks like they're trying to do down there.
Right. 803-470-2905, 803-470-2905 if you'd like to call and join the show. If you want to talk about Doty, if you want to talk about Helinski, there's two sides to that. We can talk about that as well. We got all that for you this evening. 803-470-2905. 803-470-2905 is the number to call if you want to join us here on the Rob Comrad and Kale Show. We got our games picked for next week, so we're looking forward to that. And South Carolina, Comrad, give us the lines. I think Clemson's 26 points favorite over Pitt. What's the line with the Georgia game? I have not looked at that yet.
I have not. Let me pull it up on our website.
All right.
19.5.
Look at Jackpot getting it. There you go.
I got it right here. That is
there you go,
Jackpot. Horrendous.
Mm. 19.5 points. Oh, wow. That's a lot of points. I think the game, a lot of it depends on the COVID, too, with who suits up and who doesn't.
You already submitted your pick several weeks ago. You got to pick South Carolina. You've already said that you were going to pick us again.
I'll pick South Carolina with the points. 19.5 is a lot of points.
Clemson, for our contest, is minus 26. Opening line.
That's a lot of points, too.
I jumped all over that.
What's the Texas A&M's line with LSU there? Do you have that in front of you, Kale?
LSU's favored.
No way.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, Texas I was about to say, what the fuck?
I got a 14 and a half.
13 and the hook.
Yeah, so our contest at Vegas got 14 and a half for the opening. Alabama minus 23 and a half over Auburn.
See, that game's going to be tough to pick.
Tennessee minus 11 over Vanderbilt.
Wouldn't it be great, I'll eat my hat on this one, but wouldn't it be great if Derek Mason's only win of the season was to knock off Tennessee? Yeah. Bastards. Fuck you.
Ole Miss minus 12 in the Egg Bowl.
I think that game's going to be like an Arena League game.
Carolina minus 16.
With Texas State. There we go. Let's see here. Let's take this call. Who is this? Welcome into the program. Good evening.
Hi, this is Texas A&M fan.
Hey, Texas A&M fan. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Rob. I just wanted to call in and point out a few factors you're kind of overlooking there, brother.
What am I overlooking besides the fact that Jimbo Fisher is a complete dipshit?
Well, Texas A&M has the number one rated defense in the SEC right now.
Really?
By the numbers. Okay.
By the numbers, okay.
We also have the number one team in the nation. We also have the number one team in the nation on third down efficiency. The number one team in the whole nation, ahead of Alabama, Clemson, whatever dogs you want to put there. Okay.
Okay. So you're welcome. When you're
Statistically, A&M is up there, okay? So when you say they're a fraud and they're no good, I can respect that if you're talking about, Missouri or somebody. But, the facts are the facts, Rob. And as the season goes along, it's going to play out where you look more and more silly when you talk bad about A&M.
Well, here's where I come up with my logic. You have 5 wins on the season. You went to Alabama, you lost by 4 touchdowns. You beat Vanderbilt by 5 points. Okay, you beat Florida by 3 points at home. That's your best win of the season. You beat a Mississippi State team that's a running shit show by a couple of touchdowns on the road. You beat an Arkansas team 42-31 at Arkansas, and they weren't scheduled to win a game this season. Okay, you beat South Carolina, which is a shit show, 48-3. But let's be honest, how many of those guys were completely giving up and moving on down the road? Your next game with Ole Miss was postponed, and now you've got LSU coming to Kyle Field this week. You have one impressive win out of the 5 that you've got. The rest are against teams that are not very good. So you tell me about this third down efficiency that you want to throw out there. That doesn't impress me when you played a bunch of shitholes from the SEC.
Well, I mean, think about it, Rob. How many teams go into Tuscaloosa in the second week of the season and come out with a victory? How many? No, nobody.
That's not my problem.
So don't even bring up the Alabama game.
No. Hold on. Respectfully, sir. Respectfully, sir. You talk about being in the SEC. You can't have your cake and eat it, too. You have to go to Alabama and play. That's just the way that it is.
Well, I understand that, and also everybody wants to bring up the Vandy game. We had 5 turnovers on our end of the field and so won the football game. So, we fucked up that game but we won the game.
You said in the chat you're the second best team in the country. Does the second best team in the country have 5 turnovers to Vanderbilt? No.
Like I said, that was uncharacteristic. But you know how football is. You can't just look back and say, you fucked up then, so you're just a bad team. And
I don't think that any team should go into the CFP if they have 5 turnovers to Vanderbilt and only won by 5 points, and then they had another game where they lost by 4 touchdowns. You're not a good football team, sir. You've had a cream puff schedule.
Well, the thing about it is, if you want to use that logic, I don't really know how good Boston College is, but they took y'all deep into the game before y'all won by 5 points.
Boston
College is not much better than Vanderbilt. So,
I can dispute that, sir. We can look at different things as far as models and everything else, but it's not about Boston College.
I mean, if you're going to throw out there, we're terrible, I got to call in and defend us. I mean, that's all I'm doing here. And like I said, we just play the schedule. We get handed, you know.
Okay, but look, if you want to say,
I'll call back next week after we beat LSU, and then you can call and defend your team all you want.
The reality is that you've played one tough game, and you got the shit kicked out of you in that one, and then the Florida game you won there. So, I mean, it's hard for me to say that you're just the best team ever when.
Well, no, and I'm not saying we're the best team ever.
Brother, you said you were the second best team in the country. Am I reading this wrong? You said in the chat you're the second best team in the country. That's not the second best team in the country.
Well, I truly believe that, and I think that'll play out. And I'll stand by that just like you're standing by your comments. So, I mean, yeah, I don't see it. I don't see Ohio State beating us. They barely beat Indiana. I don't see Clemson beat us. They almost lost two games in a row. I don't see Notre Dame. They're a shit show. So you tell me who's better than Alabama. Nobody.
Well, we're not talking about Alabama. We're talking about you, sir.
Oh, that's why I put a second. And if we could figure out how to shut down their long pass, we make it beat Alabama. I mean, it's hard to beat a team twice in the same year. So
if I were 6'5", I'd be in the NBA with my jump shot. If Cale Hall got winning lottery tickets every time he went to the store, he wouldn't be doing a podcast with us. And if the Conrad were better off in Russia, he wouldn't have had to come to the United States. I mean, we could talk about things that are out there, but the reality is that those aren't going to happen.
Well, like I said, that's your opinion. My opinion differs. That's all it is. It's all about, you know, I mean, like I said, the bottom line is all this stuff will play out and we'll find out.
All right. Well,
and then I may have to eat crow, and you may have to eat crow.
If Texas A&M makes the playoffs, I'll get you a Robin Comrade Show t-shirt. How's that sound?
That sounds wonderful, man. I appreciate it. And I'll let y'all go. I'll let Carolina Jackpot take over now, man. He's the man there. And Comrade ain't bad either. It's just you know, Rob, you're way off base, man. That's what I look at.
Real quick, that was a great call. You stuck Rob good. You got him with the Boston College Comrade.
Five star caller.
He didn't see it coming. Kind of like that scene of Rocky. Rocky 2, you know.
I'll catch up with y'all.
Slaps Rocky.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right. Well, the call wasn't supposed to be about Clemson. I thought he was just going to defend his team.
No, he stuck you, though. He got you good.
Yeah, he got me. All right. Anybody else want to call? And we'll take about another minute here. 803-470-2905. 803-470-2905. We appreciate everybody checking us out this evening. We'll be back at it on Wednesday to do our picks. And then we'll go from there. What are you laughing at, Cale?
That was a pretty funny I didn't know anybody else picked up on that. Beth Webb over in the comment section. Everyone could stop the long pass would win. If we could beat Alabama, if we could stop the long pass. Yep.
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
What's up, man?
Nothing much, man. I'm going to go a little off topic here. I just wanted to discuss the Heisman race for a second. First of all, I'm just blown away that Trevor Lawrence is not going to win a Heisman Trophy before he leaves Clemson. I really would have bet anything you wanted to on that one. So sorry.
There's no history there, though.
Lost there.
Just historically, their players won a Heisman, so it's not that surprising.
Yeah, sure. And second of all, I'm kind of conflicted here because on the media keeps saying that, you know, the Heisman's going to be decided in Atlanta. I mean, I'm a Florida fan, so maybe I'm coming off a little bit biased here. But every week, Kyle Trask is breaking new records in the SEC and in college football in general. He just broke Joe Burrow's record for the most touchdowns through 7 games with an all-SEC schedule. I mean, if he puts up, let's just say he puts up 3 or 4 touchdowns, 300 yards against Alabama, but we lose. I mean, it's my understanding the Heisman is not a team award, it's a player award. So if you wouldn't mind explaining to me the logic behind Mac Jones winning it with 12 less touchdowns and less yards than Kyle Trask, and that's probably going to continue.
Well, but the thing with that is that you don't know how Trask is going to do the rest of the season. You don't know how Alabama is going to do the rest of the season. So,
I was just saying, assuming the same.
Right. Like they don't award the Heisman Trophy on seven games. So let it play out a little bit.
I haven't heard. I mean, all I've heard. I'm not sure. Maybe you're listening to. I'm not sure. Listening to Bama talk radio, but I mean, all I've heard is that Trask is the clear favorite now. That he has to kind of lose at this point. So I haven't heard that it's some neck and neck. From what I've heard, is he's the clear leader now. Not that he definitely will win it. He may shit the bed here if he goes to Atlanta and throws five picks and looks like Jake Bentley against the Tar Heels, then he might not win it. But from all I hear, he's got to really do some bad things to lose at this point.
Or Jake Bentley.
Very true. I mean, very true. I mean, it's like, Coach Mullen, he said, whenever Dak Prescott, he was coaching him, he said, all you got to do is go out and throw two pick sixes, and, you don't have to worry about your name being thrown in there anymore. So, you guys are right. There's a lot of football left to be played. And, I mean, don't even get me started on Florida's fucking defense. I mean, I could go all night and another day if I wanted to, but I can't explain it to you. You know, people are saying, Gators got some young players in there, and I'm sitting here saying Vanderbilt has the 106th ranked offense, and you give up 330 yards passing.
You know who you guys need? You bring back Muschamp for defense. Yeah. Bring him back to D.C. Bring him back.
I was reading on Twitter, Virginia Tech is they might end up hiring Todd Grantham, and I'm praying. I'm saying my 10 Hail Marys and Our Fathers right now as we speak. So,
the rumor is, and I heard that Virginia Tech's going to fire Fuente at the end of the year, and the guy who broke the story that Muschamp was fired and Bobo was interim says that their number one candidate right now is Beamer Ball, which I think would do us a favor. I just don't think he's the right guy for us.
Please.
Yeah. I don't think Beamer's right for us. I kind of hope that happens. They take Beamer. I like him. Maybe I just don't think he'll work here. But, yeah, that's the big news. It's Fuentes to get fired at the end of the year. We'll see if that's true or not. But
Here's what I heard about Beamer. All the former players like him.
Yeah.
All the former players like Muschamp too.
The former players, all the old ones too. They like that old lady that ran the damn cafeteria down there at the Roost at South Carolina for 100 years. Whatever her name was.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
good one.
Yeah. Doesn't mean they're gonna make her the damn football coach. The fuck.
100%. I mean, your job is not to be likable. I mean, that's a plus. Look at Nick Saban. He's the biggest dickhead ever if you watch any of his press conferences. But you know what? He wins championships, so they really don't give a shit how he treats the media or whoever.
He's a bastard on those interviews, too.
I may get this wrong now. But it seems like the Gamecocks, the fans who want Beamer – want him because he's part of the Spurrier era, and they think that you bring that back. It's Spurrier. Didn't Clemson do that? Who was the coach that Clemson hired as part of the Danny Ford era? Was that Tommy West? Was that Tommy West? No, or Hatfield?
Ken Hatfield.
Hatfield. Okay. So it reminds me of this is early as I was just kind of getting into the rivalry back in the 90s, but it seems like Hatfield was that kind of hire for Clemson. I always get a guy from the Danny Ford tree or era, and things will go back to being like that. And no, it didn't work out that way, did it? Okay, so I think it may be the same thing at Carolina. Just because the dude was there doesn't mean that he was, I don't think his impact back then was as big as people think. I know he's a recruiting coordinator, but that is a fancy title for a dude who puts down the schedule for who goes out and recruits who. That isn't a dude who's evaluating film and like, this is the guy we got to take. And everyone goes, the Beamer said this is the guy. Let's go get him. That's not how it quite works.
As a Clemson guy, I'm holding the Beamer rally. Please hire him because I'll be able to laugh for years.
My thing about him is he has been an assistant, a grad assistant or some level of assistant for 20
fucking years. 20 fucking years. And nobody's given him a chance to be a coordinator. His own family. His own dad wouldn't even hire him to be a damn coordinator. Wouldn't even give him a damn shot.
Please hire him. Please. It'll be the greatest shit ever.
Years.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
I hope Virginia Tech. I hope we're smart enough that we go get Napier. But I don't trust us being smart. So I really hope that Virginia Tech fires Fuente and they come to him and his dad says, son, you gotta restore it here at Hokie Land. So you got to do it. You got to do it for me, son. And he does that.
No.
I mean, the thing is, you just got to take your time and whatever you do, just don't do as bad of a job as Tennessee does hiring a coach and you'll be fine.
Jesus.
And then the other thing I see a lot on Gamecock Facebook and that when I try to argue the point about, Beamer has no experience as coordinator. He's been around for 20 years.
He's never
done shit. And I get this. Oh, well, Dabo up there at Clemson was never a coordinator. He's probably 5,000.
Not only that,
shots.
But they probably,
Dabo,
probably knew.
He's the
Dabo.
Outlier that proves that Malcolm Gladwell, I always read his books, okay? So if people say that, Dabo's the outlier that proves the rule you don't hire people with no experience. Because for every Dabo, there's 800 coaches who don't do it. I've heard people talk about hiring a high school coach. Dead serious, the Gamecock thing, the AC Florida coach, I think it is. Go get him. He was going to win. I go, it's a totally different job. Like, you don't just do him. And then I sent them an article, the last dude who was hired at a big-time school out of high school was Jerry Faust at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah, I think he was an Ohio high school coach or something like that. Big-time Ohio high school coach, won like 845 games in a row. And, and Notre Dame fans said, this is the man that will lead us back. It's just a guy, and it was a shit show. That Lou Holtz took over for him. I believe Lou Holtz came right after him. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think it was Lou Holtz came after him, and Lou Holtz restored the Notre Dame back to its last kind of glory time here. I guess he can come now. I guess they're number two in the country. But yeah, look up Jerry Faust. Okay,
he was the coach on the Miami 30 for 30 about the U when they got.
Crushed them.
Running up the score on Notre Dame. It was his last game. He had gotten fired.
Well, I remember watching that game live.
And
I remember that game live watching that game.
That was the one where Jimmy Johnson was interviewed after it. He's like, I didn't run the score up. He said, I had my third string in there. It's not my fault they couldn't tackle.
Not my fault. I'm coaching his damn high school coach.
Brock with the quote of the night. Muschamp tests negative for COVID, but positive for fraud, thievery, and the HIV.
Poor Boom.
I wish I could go somewhere other than that, but I think that's a great way to end the show. And with that,
stealing. Every time you cash a check, Muschamp, you're stealing.
Every time you're stealing. You're stealing money.
Before we go, a little preview for you. Wednesday night, evening, afternoon, college basketball is back. The Gamecocks open up the season at home against the Fighting, I don't know what the hell they're called, from Coker College. Okay? Look out for Coker. They always have a couple good players, Coker College,
no, they
historically.
Don't.
And Clemson matches up against Mississippi State in Florida. Must be some kind of tournament they're playing in Florida. Clemson and Mississippi State in Florida. I heard that Clemson, the basketball team, traveled down with the football team, and they've been staying in Florida ever since. All COVID, all COVID-19 of them hanging out. But basketball back on Wednesday, thank God. Please, Gamecock basketball, please play up to your potential. Please have one fucking season go correctly.
By the way, I'm gonna make a bold statement here. Go ahead. They're the Cobras.
From South Carolina is the Cobras.
The Cobras.
Didn't know we had any Cobras in South Carolina.
Now I'm a little bit worried now. Historically, Frank Martin does like to lose these bullshit games around the year.
Real talk, I think it was, what was it, two seasons ago? You lost to Augusta Tech or some shit like that. That's real.
Okay. And that was the year that I went to all these games. And I went to like eight games, and he went 0-8 when I went to them. And my best friend says, God damn it, don't you ever fucking go to another game the rest of the year. And I swear to God, I'd stop going to games. There was games I wanted to go to, and I really felt that it was my reasoning. And I'll never forget the one game I went to, I snuck back to a game after we'd been winning for a little bit in the SEC. Didn't tell my best friend I was there. And we were up by 15 at the half, and I texted my buddy. He texted me, man, we're playing really well tonight. And guess what? I'm here. I'm not the jinx anymore. You know what we did in the second half? We got beat. And that was it. I said, I'm not going to do more games. So we'll see.
Comrade, you normally hold me accountable for things I say, and Kale, you can hold me accountable for this too. South Carolina and Clemson will both make the NCAA tournament. Hold me to that, because I think they'll both make the NCAA tournament. And December 23rd at that shithole down there at that you got that concert arena you play in, Clemson comes to town, and that's going to be an NCAA tournament worthy matchup. So,
well, listen, if the Gamecocks stay healthy and no one gets suspended or ops out,
shoots BB guns in fucking Rosewood,
We should be really good, okay? We have a lot of depth, a lot of talent. As long as no one breaks their knees or ankles and torn ACL, that could happen to Carolina because we're freaking cursed as hell sometimes. If everyone stays relatively healthy, we have a lot of talent. Cousinard, really good. Lawson looked like shit last year. Hoping he's got his head together. I like our team. We got Seventh Woods playing this year. I'll be interested to see how he plays. A lot of depth, a lot of talent. We should have a really good defensive team. We should be kind of like the Final Four team in terms of defense, in terms of length out front, playing defense. So I like our team. I'm looking forward to watching them play, and hopefully we kind of turn this shit around. In men's sports here.
Well, let me respond to Hunter over here. He says South Carolina will, but Clemson has no shot. Sir, you don't understand the game of basketball. Clemson has Alamir Dawes coming back, who was a first team all freshman player last year. They also have Amir Sims, who's a preseason all ACC first teamer this year. They've got Burley coming back, who is the big 7-footer off the bench. They also have Nick Honor, who transfers in from Fordham. They have a lot of great pieces, including a player that Comrade likes, that Comrade knows, that was. You did a little bit with one young man at Clemson who was going to be one of the stars. Yeah, Clyde Trapp. They're going to be solid in the backcourt. Absolutely solid. And it's really simple. My magic number for Clemson is if he came back from his ACL, but he's playing a lot better. If they shoot, they're going to shoot a lot of threes. If they shoot 33% or better on the season, they're going to win 12 conference games. Simple as that. So, I probably know more about Clemson basketball than anybody that's in this chat, period. I'm probably the only lone Clemson basketball fan out there. I got to deal with Comrade and Kale talking about nobody shows up for Clemson hoops games, and he's right. None of that shit happens. We're fucking terrible.
Things like beat Louisville and Duke, and then they turn around and lose to
fucking Georgia Tech,
Wake Forest,
But we had one game last year where there was one possession where we got 7 offensive rebounds and didn't score. I the fucking math on that doesn't work. All right, and with that, I'm fucking done. We'll see you guys on Wednesday.